Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, he's running against Shelley Berkley for the United States Senate on the Democratic side in the primary. Byron Giorgio will be our guest. He's got quite a job. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Brian Irwin, Warren Hardy, and Rose McKinney-James. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
I'm Mark Amaday, and I approve this message. I grew up here. I don't ever recall seeing the economy this bad. Friends, family, we've all been affected. But the human toll of this recession is frustrating for all of us. Instead of getting better, things have gotten worse. Washington has failed. It's up to us. Let's cut regulations, slash taxes on small business, and put our federal lands to work for creating jobs for all of Nevada.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program for the first time U.S. Senate candidate Byron Giorgio. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam.
You're running in a primary against Shelley Berkley, a formidable opponent. You've already, to my understanding, put in over $1 million of your own money into this campaign, as well as raising significant money. How much money do you think it's going to take to win this race?
I really don't know. That depends on the developments in the race. But there'll be more than adequate funds available to mount a winning candidacy in this race.
Okay. Are you talking maybe north of $10 million in the primary?
I really don't know. That's just something for the future. I think we're really... I know you probably want to talk about some of the mechanics of the race, but I'm really... think it's more important, if we can, to talk about some of the issues that are facing Nevadans.
I'll get to that in a minute, because and by the way, this is not the only time we want you to be on the program, so don't think that this is 12 minutes and you're done. So
understood.
There'll be plenty of time to have a conversation. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, it's pretty obvious that Senator Reid does not want you in this race. You know, by various means, you've been attacked, the commission that you served on, he said he's, not happy that he put you on that commission.
Senator Reid, I have tremendous respect for him. I supported him. I'm glad that he beat Sharon Angle. I think it would have been a mistake for Nevada to have done otherwise. He's entitled to his opinion. He's one person, and we respectfully disagree. If I didn't believe, Sam, that I was the strongest candidate in this race of the three candidates, that is Dean Heller, Shelley Berkley, and myself, I wouldn't be in it. I believe that I have a better chance, the best chance, to beat Dean Heller in the general election in November, and I will abide by the judgment of the people of Nevada who will make that choice.
Okay,
nobody in Washington will make that choice.
You know, you're going to get hammered by Shelley Berkley's campaign. You're going to get hammered by third-party money that's going to come into the state. And Senator Reid may be one man, but he has an awful lot of money at his disposal. Are you prepared to take that and put your family through that in the primary, then come out of the primary likely broke and then have to face Dean Heller, who has no opposition?
Well, I intend to win the primary and win the general election, and regardless of how many people are with me and how many people are against. The most important people, again, are the voters of Nevada, who are struggling extraordinarily in these days. I mean, people seem to want to avoid discussing this, but we literally are at ground zero of the financial crisis that I had the privilege of spending the better part of 2 years studying. We have the highest unemployment rate, the highest rate of bankruptcy filings, the highest rate of home foreclosures, the highest percentage of people underwater on their mortgages, over 400,000 people in Nevada, and the highest drop from top to bottom of housing prices. Those are the issues that I want to focus on. Last week, we had a housing forum of over 100 people in North Las Vegas showed up to talk about how it is that they're trying to struggle to keep a roof over their families' heads. Tonight, we have another one here in East Las Vegas. We're having another one next week in Henderson. We're going out to talk to the people about the issues they care about and not the mundane, somewhat mundane mechanics of political campaign.
Okay,
and I'm prepared to take my case to them on the merits. I'm a person who knows what it takes to get us out of this economic crisis. I'm not beholden to the special interests, to the Wall Street banks and the big banks in Wall Street in Washington.
Are you suggesting that Shelley Berkley is?
Well, I think both parties, both the other parties have served on the House Ways and Means Committee, and they are people who have taken significant contributions from special interests PACs in Washington. Now, that's what they do. I'm not there.
I'm a person from the outside.
And I can bring a fresh outsider's perspective, and I intend to do that, Sam.
Okay, now, let's be realistic here. If you win this race, you will be beholden to many special interests, too. I mean, you cannot run a United States Senate campaign with no money. And that's just a matter of fact of life in terms of politics. It's unfortunate.
We're raising money from individuals. We're raising money. I'm putting resources of my own into the campaign. Of course, I'm beholden to no one other than myself. I think that the voters of Nevada recognize that the problems in Washington have been created largely by the people who are there, and they're the ones least likely to solve them. I'm trying to bring a fresh perspective. We've called for reducing the principal balance of all underwater mortgages in Nevada down to the actual current market price of the home.
How would you accomplish that? How would you accomplish that?
It can be easily done. The Fed and Fannie and Freddie are the entities that own probably half of the mortgages. They can simply write them down. This is just recognizing a reality which is already true. The banks have been playing a game called extend and pretend. They act as if the loans on their books are worth 100% of their value, and they certainly are not. If somebody has a $300,000 mortgage on a home that's only worth $150,000, they're faced with two very difficult choices. Either walk away from it, which nobody wants to do because people are not trained to walk away from their obligations, or essentially enslave their families for a generation to pay back the principal balance of a mortgage, which is double the amount of the home. They can be written down. We managed to find the money to bail out the big banks and Wall Street to the tune of $800 billion and trillions of dollars of additional funds through permitting them access to lend at the federal discount window. We need to write down the principal balances of underwater mortgages to the value of the homes and to provide people market rate 4.5% money. And for those people who can't even meet the payments at the reduced rate, then allow them to become renters in those homes so we can stem the tide of these continuing foreclosures and avoid the deterioration that is going on in our communities as a result.
Okay, all right. Hang on a second here. We have to make some money here, otherwise
Thank
no
you.
Program. We'll take a break. More with Byron Giorgio when we come back.
Thank you very much.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Byron Giorgio. He is running against Shelley Berkley in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate race. You're talking about writing down mortgages and all that, and it all sounds wonderful. One of the big problems is that the servicers who control the mortgages, this is not the people who own them or the financial instruments that own these homes. It is the servicers that have no financial incentive whatsoever to cut a deal. In fact, if you go into foreclosure, they make better money than they do if they keep somebody in their home. So nobody wants to talk about that. The other thing
is...
Can I mention one other thing that's come up with the Supreme Court decisions recently, which is that half the time in these mediations that the Supreme Court is overseeing, you're not getting the people who actually own the loans into the discussion. And that was part of the whole deal, was that somebody who could actually modify a loan would be in the room or on the phone.
Right.
And that's not happening.
Well, the Supreme Court directed the two judges who are hearing these cases to sanction any party who doesn't comply with the rules. And the rules require them to bring the actual note into the courtroom so that they can prove that they're the party entitled to own the note and to negotiate with regard to it and to bring somebody who has authority. And in fact, the court just directed one of the judges to issue a penalty against a party who had failed to do that. Look, these mortgages went all over the place. They were purchased by financial institutions and then put into mortgage-backed securities and sliced and diced a whole variety of
different
ways.
So how do you find who owns it?
Well, if you don't own it, you're not entitled to foreclose upon it. It's that simple.
So then the person would just get to keep the house for free?
No, the person wouldn't. The person who entered into an obligation is entitled to have a principled negotiation with the party who actually holds the note against the home. Remember, this write-down of debt is not an uncommon thing in America. Many of the major corporations in Nevada have already gone into reorganization proceedings
and written down substantial debt.
So it's very possible not to just do this for the largest corporate entities, but to do it with individuals.
But I'm saying, how do you get past the servicers when they have no financial motive to do it? Because they don't make any money unless they foreclose on the home.
Well,
in fact, they continue to pay out money all the time that the house is in the foreclosure process.
But it's the real party in interest who has the ownership interest.
Not at this point in time. I mean, you would think it would be. What's been happening in these mediation cases, and I have a lot of personal experience with this situation, is that it is the servicers who are doing the mediations.
Well, they ought not to be doing it. The party who ought to be doing it is a representative of the actual owner of the loan.
So how do you
remember,
take the
when a bank
out?
Owns a note on their has a note on their books for $300,000 on a home that's only worth $150,000, everybody knows that that note is not worth $300,000 anymore. It behooves the bank to write it down to the actual value, because even if they were to foreclose, all that they would get was the property, and then if they were to sell it, they would only be able to sell it for the actual market value of the home. So all they're going to get is $150,000 all wet.
Byron, I don't disagree with you at all. It is totally the owners of these loans that are getting screwed by the servicers.
But they control the servicers, and in many instances, the banks themselves have an independent branch that's actually servicing. So they can't really blame it on themselves. The reality is that the financial institutions that own it, and remember, the Federal Reserve, Fannie and Freddie probably own the better part of half of the mortgages out in America these days. They could write them down very simply. And they probably, if realistically, the Financial Accounting Standards Boards and others who keep track of their books and whether they're being accurately reporting are already insisting upon, in many instances, writing them down to the actual values. Now, what this will do is not only enable people to stay in their homes, but it actually is the essential element for us to get out of the economic morass that we're in, because people don't have any purchasing power available. They're spending all of their money or significant parts of their money on keeping the mortgage current, and they don't have ability to spend money and generate demand in the rest of the economy. And America has been a successful country economically for 100 years because the middle class has had tremendous purchasing power, which has been the engine that has stimulated the economy and moved it forward. And we're facing a circumstance today where that's not the case.
But also unlimited credit. I mean, ridiculous credit. If you could fog up a mirror, you were getting credit. The inflation of the housing industry was just through the roof. People were financing all kinds of goofy purchases they should never have purchased.
Well, of course. And that's absolutely true. But as we studied on the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, you had a lot of people unaccountable for their actions. Mortgage brokers were getting paid at the front end for originating mortgages, regardless of whether they were paid back.
Okay,
underwriters doing the same.
I want to go to another topic, because this is going to be a very tough race, and I brought this up at the beginning. Jane Ann Morrison wrote a column back in April 16th. She said, "Personally, I hoped Congresswoman Shelley Berkley wouldn't run for the U.S. Senate because I knew it would resurrect unflattering news coverage about secretly recorded audio tapes and memos that made her sound unethical, made her sound. Berkley, the one-time government affairs advisor at Las Vegas Sands by Shelley Adelson, advised him in 1996 to one way to corral support for his new hotel project, the Venetian, was to offer favors to two county commissioners, Aaron Kenney and Yvonne Atkinson Gates. She also urged Adelson in memos to make campaign contributions to judges, saying they tend to help those who help them. All of this came out in June of 1998, but essentially nobody cared, and she's been reelected ever since. If this race gets really tough, is this a road you're going to go down?"
Well, I wasn't here when that occurred. Obviously, Shelley Berkley has to run on her record as I have to run on mine. I'm not running against Shelley Berkley. I'm running for an office, and I'm running primarily to be a voice for and a vehicle for the expression of the interests of hardworking middle-class Nevadans who are victimized by this financial crisis.
All right.
Most Nevadans don't much care about the modest things that have gone on in my life in the course of 40 years in the private practice, the successes and the failures, as much as they care about their current circumstances,
and somebody will
take care of that.
It's the economy, it's jobs, but you have a fascinating history, and I would encourage people to go to Vegas Inc. magazine and look up a story that was done back in May on you, a very lengthy article.
Right.
We look forward to having you back
on
the program.
Or they can go on my website, ByronGiorgio.com, and find out more about the campaign. Thank you very much,
and
Sam,
we look
for
forward to you coming
us.
Back on the program. Thank you, sir.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers
after this timeout.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
At Evergreen Carpet Care, when we say we live with your carpets, it means our service continues even after we've left the job. Because to us, people care is every bit as important. So we're constantly striving to offer the best possible customer service in the business.
For example, we do something that no one else does. We'll give you a follow-up call to make sure your job was done perfectly. And I mean perfectly. If not, we'll make it right. We promise.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever evergreen.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Here's important news for Medicare beneficiaries with diabetes.
These new alternate site, no-code meters make testing easier than ever and eliminate painful finger pricks. You can receive one of these new meters free. And with Medicare or private insurance, your testing supplies may also be covered with free delivery.
Call 1-800-211-8014 now. That's 1-800-211-8014. The call is free and there's no obligation.
1-800-MEDICINE for all your health care needs.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ryan Irwin is here with Ryan Irwin and Associates. Warren Hardy is with the Warren Hardy Group, and we also, and principal of Hardy Consulting. And we also have Rose McKinney James, managing principal for Energy Works LLC. Pleasure to have you all here today. So let's start out with the Shelley Berkley, Dean Heller race, and what needs to be done, because You know, Dean Heller has very little name recognition down in Southern Nevada. Shelley Berkeley has very little name recognition in Northern Nevada. And then you have Byron Giorgio in the mix as well. Your thoughts?
Well, I think both of them have work to do. I mean, this is really kind of clash of the titans right now of the two probably best candidates from either party. But then you've got Byron Giorgio, who's kind of mucking it up for the Democrats right now. And you know, if he's going to put significant money in and run a significant campaign, he's not going to be easy to beat. And I really think that all three of them have a lot of work to do. They all have their own strengths. I think they know where those strengths are, and they all have some weaknesses they need to fill in. I think we're going to see an aggressive campaign. I think it's going to be nasty down the stretch, maybe in the primary for the Democrats, and certainly I think in the general for both parties. There's a long way to go, and this is, you know, another race that continues to put Nevada on the national map as the kind of ground zero for politics.
It really is fascinating because Byron Giorgio, if he's going to stay in the race, and he said he's going to be there all the way, and he apparently has his own money to be able to make this happen, by the time we get to the end of the primary, the Democrats are both going to be broke. There's any money left in the coffers, and they've already going to have slung enough dirt at each other. They'll give lots of fodder to the Republicans. On the other side, you've got Dean Heller, who was originally known as a moderate Republican when he represented Carson City and the Secretary of State, who went to the right of Sharon Angle to win that that seat in CD2. How do you see this playing out?
No, it's a really interesting dynamic. I agree that it's going to be a very robust campaign. Shelley Berkeley is a tenacious campaigner. Byron is new to the Nevada scene. That will probably take its toll. Also, I think there's a perspective that comes when you're putting your own money into it when it comes to the electorate. So I agree that it's going to be robust on a number of levels. There is a long way to go. We're just framing it out right now, but they're running hard.
Dean Heller has a long way to go back to the middle if that's where he's aiming, and if he's not, doesn't that put him in trouble in Clark County?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they both Congresswoman Berkeley and Senator Earle have the same issue with regard to that. And how they strategically work that out, I think they're all both pretty well advised on that. But it is interesting to watch when you're in my position and have to advise clients on what may or may not happen. You kind of look at what the donors are doing early. And the one of the big ironies in Nevada politics is nobody gambles. And we're seeing that with this race right now. Everybody's kind of loading up on both sides. So nobody's sure. And Ryan's a lot smarter than I am on this stuff. But we have a long way to go. It's going to be a long, interesting haul.
And also the specter of huge third-party money. After the Citizens United ruling, you're going to see union money hugely increased. You're going to see corporate money increased. How's this going to play into things?
Well, it does come down to the money, because the money is what gets you up on the television. The money is what gets you before the electorate. The person who manages that money well and has it for the long term is a person who generally comes out on top. So it is about the money. And it's going to be a very different, I think, focus this time, because there's a lot of anger out there.
And I think that's a huge factor in Senator Heller's favor, that right now it looks like he's going to kind of have a clear shot. He can be more strategic about how he uses his money. So the Democratic side is going to be a little bit more of a challenge there.
And that comes down, I think, to the congressional districts, especially in Southern Nevada, at this anger that Rose is talking about. It really is out there, and it's ferocious, that people don't understand why nothing is getting done in Washington. And this whole debt ceiling debate, which I don't want to get into, but it's just good. Making that look even worse.
Well, it is. You know, there's gridlock, and I think part of the problem is you've got a host of folks, most of them relatively new to politics, that are trying to get things done and are finding that the gridlock in Washington is unbearable. And both parties are to blame. And I think you can easily point the finger at each of them and look at a number of ways that they've held up progress of America. You know, this debt ceiling debate is one important issue where you've got a lot of people that want to get something done. The question is whether they'll actually let the American government default on debts to prove a point. And ultimately, I think in most of these big instances, cooler heads do prevail, and you're able to find a solution that everybody can live with and nobody's happy with. But as it goes through the process and you look back on TARP and the stimulus and all of these big votes, they end up being the defining issue in most of these campaigns. And with five Democrats now running for Congress, with four seats, nobody knows where the lines are, six Democrats if you count Kate Marshall, You got a long way to go on this and a lot of definition to do. Again, Nevada's going to be a fascinating place to be a part of the political scene.
And I think that's an interesting point that's raised, because now we're looking back at the movies about TARP and about the whole bank bailout, and we're seeing that a lot of ugliness ensued there, where people were coming to the president and the Congress and saying, if you don't do this, it's all going to collapse. And then the reality is that maybe it wasn't all going to collapse. How do you think these new politicians who are in Congress for the first time and the public are looking at this debt ceiling and really saying, you know, is August 2nd really the deadline or not?
Well, you know, it occurs to me that you establish a line, and folks are drawing these lines in the sand. Whether or not they're looking at history to inform these decisions or not, the reality is that decisions are not being made because the lines are being drawn in the sand on both sides. I hope that cooler heads will prevail. I hope that there is a willingness for folks to come to the table and recognize that something has to be done. Now, I guess we'll have to see, because, you know, the date is around the corner, and we're still, no vote today? Will there be a vote tomorrow? At some point, someone is going to have to take this by the reins and say, got to make a decision.
You know, I think it's very interesting, and we're taping this a week before we're going to air it, so some of these things may have already shaken out. But the truth of the matter is that if they don't pass this debt ceiling, interest rates go through the roof, that every one of those people who are in Congress are going to get thrown out.
Well, and I think that's really part of the problem. You know, we've watched this kind of thing go on at the state level and in Congress for a lot of years, this kind of posturing. I have never seen the rhetoric at such a level. Nobody knows what the truth is. Everybody's talking about default. We're not going to default. And will it impact our credit rating? Potentially. The United States of America is not going to default. But that's what the conversation is. That's the talk that's going on. That has brought the rhetoric to such a level that the American people don't really know what to think. They don't know what the truth is. And the other problem is you've got a dynamic in Congress right now where compromise is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have our system of government function without compromise.
Okay, and that's where we're going to leave it for today. I'm going to hold you guys over until our next broadcast, so stick around. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
Is your child happy in school? Is the pace too fast or too slow? Does your child need a more flexible or individualized approach? Some children simply thrive in a different kind of classroom. That's why you have another public school choice. Online learning from K-12, a full-time alternative to the traditional classroom, available as a tuition-free public school option. K-12 is a fully accredited program that brings learning to life for students grades K through 12. Call now for your free information kit to learn how K-12 could be the best option for your child. Parents and teachers enthusiastically endorse it.
I made a switch to online learning because I saw results. I just saw a blossoming of kids' excitement for education.
Our state-certified teachers customize lesson plans, organize field trips, and guide learning. Kids work at the level and pace just right for them, without classroom distractions. With K-12, you get teacher support, books, school supplies, and materials for experiments, all included. And in most cases, the program is tuition-free.
You'll hear from every person that ever works with K-12 curriculum that it is top-notch.
In fact, 95% of K-12 parents agree their children have benefited from this program. As a full-time public school option or to purchase supplemental courses, think K-12.
The ability to have the online school and still be part of a public school system is priceless.
Call now or go online for your free information kit. See how K-12 can be the right choice for your child. Nevada Virtual Academy is currently accepting students in grades K through 12 for fall 2011 enrollment. Call K-12 today or go online to learn more.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, the boss of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, Pat Mulroy, will be here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.